middle of chapter 42, and we're talking about getting to know Hashem, which is really the ultimate destiny of humanity and the ultimate purpose of the world. And how does the Rambam end his entire work? He says the entire occupation of the world will be nothing other than to know Hashem.
The Jews or the whole world?
The entire world. La'yeisa kol elam kule. The whole world. The Jews are going to have, obviously, they're a different level of recognition. The non-Jews are going to come to us and ask us to teach us them about Hashem. But everybody is going to only want to know Hashem. And, you know, we're just talking about AI, how that is a huge new phase. Like somebody who is a lawyer said he's going to not need a lot of the people who work for him. He employs like 20 other lawyers. And just to write a contract, he can use AI for that. He doesn't need those people that he employed. And we're talking about, what are people going to know? What are people going to do already? And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to get to know Hashem already now. There are so many young people who are not working. You say, well, what are they doing with all their free time? So this is a favorite story of mine that my friend Hannah says of her grandmother. She lived to 101. This is actually the mother of Manus Friedman and Avraham Fried.
Wow.
And Hannah lived in her house.
Wow.
And she was working in her house. So she had a phone, and her grandmother was like, what are you doing on that thing all the time? So she said, let me show you what I did in the last 2 hours. And she showed her all the business negotiations she made and the transactions she did in just 2 hours on the little device. And so she said to her, you know, Bubby, things must be so different than the way you grew up. Like, tell me, what's the difference? And she said, when I was little, everything took such a long time just to cook a meal.
Yeah.
To do the laundry. It was an entire day's event. Now, everything takes so quickly. But I don't see what everybody's doing with all the free time.
It just gets sucked out.
But we are not wasting it because we're using it. We're using it to learn about Hashem. And the Alter Rebbe is assuring us that if we try, it's 100% accuracy, 100% guarantee, we're gonna get that kind of knowledge of Hashem that people get of things that they see with their physical eye. He has no doubt about it. Not like, you know, maybe the statistics show if you're in this range, you have a good chance. No good chance. 100% success rate if we follow the steps. He said it's within the capabilities of every single Jewish person just by virtue of having a soul. So that's what he talked about. He said that da'as, this internal knowledge of Hashem, is essentially part of who we are. We have Moshe Rabbeinu in us. And he is rooted in Hashem's da'as in the world of Atzilus. We nurture from that. We have that. So then what's the problem? Why aren't we walking around with full and complete awareness of Hashem at every given moment on every single day? And the reason why we're not is Alter Rebbe says for two reasons. First of all, the soul is clothed within the body, so that dims the light of the soul. Second of all, the soul has a diminished consciousness once it comes down here. So we have to put forth efforts on two fronts. First of all, we have to shatter the body. And of course, that sounds horrible when we say shatter the body. When we say shatter the body, we mean shatter the obscurity of the body. The body would like us to believe that the shell of the world is the world. If we have no experience with a tangerine or with any fruit of the peel, we say, whoa, you look at the peel and you think that's the fruit. That's not the fruit. That's just protecting and concealing the fruit. We look at the world, we say, this is reality. This is not reality. It's protecting and concealing reality, which is Hashem. So we have to shatter that facade that doesn't allow us to see Hashem. And the way to do that, like we said, was with thoughts of teshuva, humbling ourselves so that we realize that the world is God-centered, not ego-centered. When we get to that place, we still have another effort. And this effort even takes more effort, takes more power. This effort is to uncover the soul. It's essentially hidden. So we're taking something that's essentially hidden and bringing it to the forefront. That takes very hard work. And what's the work? Meditation. We have to literally delve deeply into thinking about Hashem's greatness. And the Alter Rebbe said, don't let it become burdensome to you. You're just going to have to do it. Make this part of something that you do. That is the second effort. So the first exertion was the exertion of the flesh. The second exertion is the exertion of the soul so that it shouldn't be burdensome to really delve deeply upon Hashem. And then there are some people who, even though they've done teshuvah, and even though they've removed that facade of the body, they still have a hard time connecting when they're meditating about Hashem. And the altar says, even if you're having a hard time, if you forcefully persist, you're gonna get there. It will take you longer. Some people, it takes them a longer time. And the reason why is because their soul has come down world to world and has taken on the consciousness of the lower worlds. And even within this lowest world, it is rooted in the lowest sefirah. So its spiritual capabilities are much, much less. But it still has the capability of truly knowing Hashem. Every Jewish person has that capability. The Altar was saying that with 100% certainty. You know, the Altar really, he doesn't want us to cheat ourselves out of what the experience that we could have. There's a story of Reb Shimon Zelichaver. He was the mashkiach of Yeshivas Chachmi Lublin, not a Chabad yeshiva. And he was a big fan of the Tanya. And he wanted his students to study Tanya as well. You know, these kids were not raised Chabad, and they didn't see a reason why they should. But he figured if they know how much it means to him, maybe they'll want to do it. He said, I want you to know, I know the Tanya inside out. So if you open up the Tanya and start reading me the line from a place, I'll tell you which chapter it's from. So they did it. And he was on point every single time. He knew exactly which chapter. And then they said, Al Yehi Shaita, don't be a fool. And that appears in chapter 28. And because Alter Rebbe is telling us not to engage in a certain kind of exercise that is not appropriate for our spiritual level. And he says, oh, don't be a fool. That is actually every line in Tanya. It appears in chapter 28. That is every line in Tanya. And again, the author's saying, like, don't settle for less than you can get. I'm telling you, there's something tremendous that you can access, and don't settle for anything less than the best. So that's where we are right now. And even somebody who has a very low spiritual capabilities can have this kind of knowledge of Hashem. So his impediment is low spiritual capabilities, but there's another kind of impediment. Ubefrat im hutama bechatas ne'urim. Especially if the soul is not only of a lowly nature, but in addition, it has been defiled by the sin of youth. For one sins interpose between a Jew and God, as is written in Sefer Chassidim. So if a person has sins of youth, which generally sins of youth means wasteful emission of seed, Hasidic scholars explain that the reason why this sin is specified is probably because most people are not clean of that sin. But it means just in general, there's basically nobody who escapes childhood unscathed. You know, if someone say, well, I'm Baal Tshuva, so I understand I have sin and you were raised religious. No. I don't want to hear any of that. Nobody escapes childhood. Most people don't escape childhood unscathed. We all have when we're saying childhood, just means our earlier periods. We all have our sins that just get in the way. Sins stupefy the soul. It's like, you know, you want to charge that vacuum and it's not charging because there's the dirt on the contacts. That's what it is. Like, you're trying to make this connection, but we can't make the connection because the Navi Yeshaya says, Ki im avaneseichem hayu mavdilim beinechem levein elekeichem, because your sins interpose between you and your God. Sins desensitize us. They numb our soul. The Talmud says like this. Tanit vei Rabbi Yishmael. Aver mitamtemes libay shel adam shenemar v'leisitamu bahem v'netmesem bam al tikrei v'netmesem ela v'nitamtim. In the school of Rabbi Yishmael, it was taught, sin stupefies the heart of the person who commits it, as it is stated, and do not impurify yourselves with them so that you should not thereby be impurified. Do not read that term as be impurified, vinitamesem, but rather as, and your hearts will be stupefied, vinitamtem. Sins stupefy our heart. You become like numb, insensitive. All of a sudden, like, things that should have been clear to us are so not clear to us because of that veil that obscures the heart. And, you know, last night we had a discussion about Baalei Tshuva because we had a few Baalei Tshuvas at class and, you know, we wanted to discuss it and unearth it. And of course, in this regard, everybody has to be a Baalei Tshuva. In fact, the Alter Rebbe wanted to call his group the Baalei Tshuva. That's not the name that stuck. The Misnagdim called them the Chassidim, and that became the name, the Chassidim. But actually, the Alter Rebbe wanted to call his group the Baalei Tshuva. And it's not just somebody who, you know, grew up eating not kosher and not keeping Shabbos, and then they changed their lifestyle. anybody who was at a level where it wasn't fitting for them, that's already a sin. There's a story in the Talmud of the famous Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is the man. A few times at class, we said the story from the Talmud in Chagiga where Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is riding behind his teacher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he asks him to teach him Maisa Merkava, the design of the divine chariot. Remember that story? And he says, didn't I tell you? We don't discuss the design of the divine chariot except with somebody who's already been well-developed in knowledge. And he said, Chacham Mevin Midaitai, a wise man who understands on his own. And he said, well, let me tell you something that I understand. And so immediately his teacher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, gets off the donkey and wraps himself ready to listen to his student talk about Maisa Merkava, which is actually Kabbalah. And he says, my teacher, why did you get off of your donkey? Why did you wrap yourself? And he said, is it going to be possible? Is it possible that you're going to expound on the design of the divine chariot? And the ministering angels are accompanying us, and I'm going to be riding on a donkey? And when his students started to speak, when Rabbi Elazar ben Arach started to speak, a fire came down, a spiritual fire, and the trees were all singing. And his teacher was so moved, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that he kissed him on the head and praised Avraham Avinu. He said, lucky are you, our father Abraham, that Elazar ben Arach came from your loins. Okay, so this is Elazar ben Arach. Let's look at another story of Elazar ben Arach. Elazar ben Arach's wife decided that she wants to move to a different part of Israel because it was very luxurious. They had beautiful springs and the wine there was good. And he said, I can't move. I learn with my friends. This is where I learn. She said, no, but you are the most outstanding of them all. They should be following you. And she used very derogatory terminology to say that. And he listened to his wife and he moved. And his friends got wind of the news that his level of Torah study had dropped tremendously. And they said, we're going to come visit him. And they asked him to read from the Torah. And instead of reading HaChaydesh Hazel Lachem, this month shall be for you the first of months, he read HaChayresh Haya Libam. Instead of HaChodesh Hazel Lachem, HaChayresh Haya Libam. He switched letters around by accident. Could you imagine? Someone of the caliber of Elazar ben Arach, and that means their hearts became numb. And he realized the mistake, and his friends prayed for him, and Hashem restored to him his previous level. But the point is, that wasn't a sin. Moving to a luxurious resort wasn't a sin. For somebody of his caliber, that was a sin. Everybody has to know there, that was something that was enough to stupefy his soul. So we all have, or at least I should say most people have, things in their past that conceal their heart, that cover their heart, that make it such a hard time for the person to truly connect to Hashem when they're meditating. They're meditating. They're thinking about Hashem's greatness. They're trying to make it so real to them, like something they see with their very eyes. And they're trying and they're trying. There's a blockage. What's the blockage? Blockage number A is maybe their soul comes from a low place. But blockage number two is maybe they have sins of youth that's dusting up the contact and not allowing that connection to be made. But the author of it says, there's nobody who's beyond hope. Anybody who tries hard enough, no matter what they have in the past, no matter what level soul that they have, you try hard enough, 100% guaranteed success. Okay, so umikol makim, nevertheless, with difficulty and with forceful effort, when his thought greatly exerts itself with vigor and great toil and intense concentration, immersing itself in contemplation of the greatness of Hashem for a long time, the author was going to finish the thought, there will certainly come to him at least the lower level of fear. Everybody's going to get it. The previous Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, said in a talk, what does it mean a long time? If you're going to do it every single day for a long time, a long time means an hour today, an hour tomorrow, until ultimately the repetitive of intense concentration day after day will ensure that no matter how lowly the soul may be, it will certainly come to the fear. So there is nobody who is beyond repair. Anybody who tries, no matter what obstacles they have in the way, we have to just make this part of our spiritual hygiene. There's no such thing as a day that goes by without us meditating about Hashem. Ideally, it should really be in the morning before our prayers. Sometime in the morning, you know, before your day gets started with all the busy rush, take 5 minutes. Just close your eyes. Think about Hashem. Everybody has what speaks to them. Find those things that speak to you. It could be creation. It could be the way Hashem orchestrates events such just so. There's millions of things we can think about, infinite things that we can think about. Something that speaks to us, and just sit with that thought. Look at it again and again and again until it overwhelms you. It could take 5 minutes. It could take 15 minutes. When the previous Rebbe says a long time means an hour today, an hour tomorrow, I don't think he used the word hour. Sha'ah, you know, means an hour, but it's a certain period of time. It's just don't break the consistency. Every single day, just invest that amount of time thinking about Hashem, and we're going to have that breakthrough realization. Like, wow, there's this real impression of Hashem is right here. I know it. I feel his greatness, and it's so real to me the same way I see something with my own eyes. There will certainly come to him at least the lower level fear referred to above, meaning enough to prevent him from doing something that is opposed to Hashem's will. With regard to the Alter Rebbe's above assurance that no matter how lowly the soul, and notwithstanding its previous sins, still with intense concentration on Hashem's greatness, it will surely attain the lower level of fear, the Rebbe comments, we also understand from this that even before attaining this level of fear, the person will surely succeed in undoing his separation from Hashem that was brought about through his sins, meaning he will regret his sins and repent. So the Rebbe is noting something. We're saying that a person could have a low capacity, and a person could have sins of their youth. So that is an obstacle, but it's not a prevention. Definitely we can come to have this da'as of Hashem. But the Rebbe says that even before arriving at this da'as of Hashem, this contemplation will remove the separation of sin. And it reminded me of a story that I heard. Shai Agnon, the famous Israeli award-winning writer, has this rendition. It's told by the Hasidic master, Rabbi Yitzchak of Vorki, that there was a peasant who insulted the king. He didn't mean to insult the king. He was just so ignorant. He had no idea of royalty. How do you act? How do you speak to a king? And he acted in a very common manner with the king, casual, in a way that was totally inappropriate. He really should have been punished. But the king didn't want to punish him because it was by mistake. On the other hand, he needed to make him aware of what he did. So he said, it's just a matter of education. And he had this man educated on royalty and what's the proper way to treat the king and who the king is. And after all that education, they brought him into the presence of the king and he fainted. Suddenly he had an awareness. So it's like us too, you know, we're thinking about like, we want to get this separation of sins out of the way so we can make that contact, clear that dust so the charger works. Yes. But while we're making that meditation, while we're really thinking about Hashem, something else happens. The separation of sin melts away because suddenly we have an awareness of who Hashem is, and that causes us like to faint. It's just that regret, that is teshuvah. People think teshuvah means, you know, you have to cry, you have to mortify yourself, you have to starve yourself and fast. No, teshuvah is, I'm just never going to do that again. And when we have that stark realization, like, oh my goodness, look who I rebelled against, that is teshuvah. So the Rebbe says, even before we reach that da'as, we will have reached that removing that film of separation that covered our soul. And as the rabbis of blessed memory have said, if a man says, I have labored and I have found, believe him. So this is regarding Torah study. It says, if a person says, this is one of the 12 passages that the Rebbe had children memorize. And really everybody should memorize. I should send it to everybody at class. 12 passages. These are selected passages from Tanakh, from the Oral Torah, and from Tanya. And this statement is like this. If somebody says, I have tried, but I have not succeeded, don't believe him. If someone said, I didn't try and I succeeded, don't believe him. If someone said, I have tried and I have succeeded, believe him. If someone says, I tried and I didn't succeed, don't believe him. What aren't we believing? We're believing that we're not believing that he tried. If you really would have tried, you would have succeeded. But it's a very interesting word that the Talmud uses. The Talmud says, Yagaiti umatsasi. I have tried. Matsasi doesn't really mean succeeded. That's how we were translating it into English so that it makes sense. But it means I have found. I have tried and I have found. And the Rebbe speaks about that and they note that over here. The Rebbe explains one's labor not only helps a person achieve something commensurate with the amount of labor, similar to payment received for doing a job, it moreover enables him to say, I have found. For in the case of a person who finds an object, his find is incomparably greater in value than the labor invested in finding it. So you say, I tried and I succeeded. Okay, so that means I put in X amount of effort and I got a reciprocal amount of reward. Here, we're putting in a tremendous amount of effort, but still what we get in return is so much more than anything we could have expected. It's as if we found it. You know, you're walking and suddenly you find $1 million. What did you do, Ray, to find $1 million? Nothing. You just found it. Even though we're working very hard, what we get for our efforts is like we found it. The Alter Rebbe is assuring us that if you work hard, you're going to succeed. And not only will you succeed, it's going to be beyond your tremendous efforts. The Alter Rebbe is asking us to put in tremendous effort. But he's saying what you're going to come upon after putting in this tremendous effort is way beyond your wildest dreams. You never would have imagined that you can reach this kind of connection. Total awareness of Hashem. It's going to be beyond what you expect. There's a story of a chassid, Rabbi Yekosiel Epler. He was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, also of his son, the Mittel Rebbe. And the chassidim used to come to the town of Rabbi Yekosiel and repeat the discourses that the Mittel Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe's son, was teaching. And Rabbi Yekosiel didn't get it. He was a simple man. The concepts were very deep. He just couldn't understand. What are these thoughts that they're teaching? And the next time he visited the Mittel Rebbe, he said, I can't understand your discourses. And he said, listen, our sages assure us, Yagati umatsasi ta'amin. If you work hard, you're surely going to succeed. I believe you. If you work hard, if you say, I work hard and I succeeded, believe him. So he decided, that's it. I'm obviously not trying hard enough. So he sent a message home. I have important business to take care of over here. I'll be back in a few months. And every single day he spent hours meditating. And suddenly he had a breakthrough. It came in increments and his mind was expanded. And he was a person that was known to be a genius later on in life. This is a person of simple capabilities. When it came to Hasidic concepts, he had such a deep awareness. In fact, the Mittel Rebbe, he wrote a number of works. And each one of those works that he wrote were said to have been written for a different one of his chassidim. And his work, Imre Bina, which is tremendously profound, he wrote for this chassid, Rabbi Yekosiel Epler, who initially could not understand his discourses. You know, if we're not willing to invest, then we're willing to invest in all these different things. But suddenly, when it comes to meditating about Hashem, it's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do that? Mm-hmm. We could. Yeah, but we could.
The more you talk about it, the more it's going to be ingrained in your mind. Like, you just have to keep focusing on it.
And I think, like, talking about it as a group, like, we're here for each other, you know? We remind ourselves, like, this is important. This is something that we do. Like, last night somebody said to me, wow, this is new to me. Like, she's been part of Chabad for years. And she's like, I didn't know we need to meditate. Like, meditation, that's part of Chabad? Yeah. People don't know that. Meditation is so central. We have to literally take the time to just think about Hashem. And so the Alter Rebbe explains like this. So that was about Torah study, but the Alter Rebbe now brings a verse from Tanakh, and this is from Mishlei, to prove that it's not just about Torah study. If you try hard, you're going to succeed. But also when it comes to Yiras Hashem, to fear of Hashem, if you try hard, you're going to succeed. Uchadichsev. Im tivak shena chakasef v'chamat moinim tach v'sena az tavin yiras Hashem. It is also written, with regard to success one achieves when he labors to attain the fear of Hashem, if you seek it like money and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of Hashem. So if you really seek it and you really search for it, you will come to understand fear of Hashem. What's this comparison? Perush, kederech shemachapes adam matmain va'aitzer hatamid v'sachtiyeh sa'aretz, shechayfer acharav biyagia atzuma. This means, in the manner of a person seeking a hidden treasure buried in the depths of the earth, for which he digs with tireless toil, for he knows that it is surely buried there, kach tzarech lachbor biyagia atzuma legales aitzer shal yira shemayim. Hatzafon umustar bevinas halev shall call Adam Yisrael. So must one delve with unflagging energy in order to reveal the treasure of fear of heaven, which lies buried and concealed in the understanding of the heart of every Jewish individual. Since this treasure is surely concealed within every Jewish heart, all that needs to be done is to dig it out and seek to reveal it. So we know that it's there. If you know that there is a treasure buried somewhere, you're going to work hard. $5 billion buried right there. You're going to work hard. Because it takes a lot of work. I don't care. I'm going to do it. And there's two kinds of work. There's the first is the first layer of earth to dig off. And Hasidic scholars explain that first level is just breaking out of the habits of the body. You know, we talked about like breaking out of the framework of the ego. But then there's the harder work. The harder work is exposing the soul. Because this soul is not naturally given to exposure, not at this deepest place. It's concealed. And so to do that, we have to work very hard. We need like a hoe and an axe, but we're going to do it because we know that 100% it's there. So let me summarize what we said until now, and then let's look at this next thought, which is incredible. So we said like this, yes, there are people who have a low-level soul, and that's why they're not finding that connection immediately. And not just that, especially if there have been sins in their past, which means that the contact are desensitized. So it takes that much harder to reach this success of coming to know Hashem. But the altar assures us that if we try hard enough, we are going to succeed. And the way the Rebbe explains it, it's not just regular success, it's going to be beyond our wildest dreams. And that's how it is with the Yiras Shemayim. It's literally hidden within us. All we have to do is work hard because for sure it's there. If we search for it the same way we search for a treasure, we will 100% find it. Okay, so we all have Yiras Shemayim. It's part of us. Why aren't we walking around in like this days of awareness of Hashem? Like we should be floating on that, and we're not. And the Alter Rebbe says, there's a reason why. And that's what he says right now. That's what we're coming to right now. Shehi bechina umadrega shelamayla mehazman. This understanding of the heart, being of a quality and level transcending the limitations of time. So we have it. 100% we have it. Where does it come from? It comes from the essence of our soul. The essence of our soul is not a creature. It's actually godly. It's part of Hashem himself. So we have this part within us that's literally godly, part of Hashem himself. Hashem himself is beyond time. Most people don't think of this, but time is actually a creation. That's what the Maggid of Mezrich, this is the teacher of the Alter Rebbe, the student of the Baal Shem Tov, writes in one of his teachings that time is a creation. Everything has been created by Hashem. Time, too, was created by Hashem. This part of our soul is so deeply connected to Hashem, it's in a space that's beyond time. But that's not the space where we function. We function within time. So, you know, we have these things that are like our capabilities, but then channeling it into everyday life is a whole new level. So Alter Rebbe is going to teach us how to take this space within ourself that transcends time, that is, this part of ourself can never be damaged. This connection to Hashem always remains whole and intact, pure and pristine. It's literally part of Hashem. So that's the advantage. The disadvantage is that it's so beyond time, it's so beyond our regular consciousness that we don't connect to it on a day-to-day level. It's not what powers our everyday action. We're trying to make that connection of actually who we are, because that's who we are. We are this divine soul. We are this divine consciousness. In our essence, that's who we are. But does that feed and inform our conscious everyday self? No, not naturally. So we're trying to take it from here and bring it to there. And Alter Rebbe was going to explain to us how to do that. V'hi hayira hativis hamesuteres Hanis Karasal, and this is the natural hidden fear referred to above. A question now arises. If this fear is natural and is always found within a Jew's heart, why then is it necessary to take measures involving profound contemplation of Hashem's greatness in order to attain it? The Alter Rebbe therefore goes on to say that since this fear is found in the recesses of the heart, it does not affect one's actions and enable him to refrain from sinning. It is thus necessary to take steps that will reveal this fear and ensure that it affects one's actual deeds. Rock. Shekedei shetav shetavai lidei maisa bevchinas yiras chet liyai sur meira b'maisa diru machshava tzarech legalaisa mimatzpune binas halev shelemaila mehazman lahavia levchinas machshava mamash shebamayach. However, in order that it should be translated into action, in the sense of fear of sin, so that one will turn away from evil in deed, word, and thought, one needs to bring it to light from the hidden depths of the understanding of the heart, where it transcends time, and to place it within the realm of actual thought that is in the brain. So it's in a place that transcends time. It is who we are, but we don't connect to it. The Alter Rebbe was telling us, take it from that space and bring it into your conscious self. Bring it into the realm of actual thought in your brain. Our thought is already within the confines of time. We're trying to make that transfer of bringing it from way beyond creation, way beyond normal human existence, and pull it into our realm. How are we going to do that? We're going to bring it into our thoughts. Our thoughts are a place where there's already time. It's hard for us to imagine anything that doesn't know time, because anything that we know of is subject to time. Even if it's been here since the beginning of creation, that's when it started, creation. Everything has time. Anything that we thought about has a certain amount of time that we thought about it, where we pass it through our mind. Time is our thoughts are a place where time rules. So on one hand, that limits us. But on the other hand, when we bring this transcendent space within our thoughts, we're able to break through that barrier. Rabbi Steinsaltz references the Midrash, where Hashem says, this is so beautiful. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu li Yisrael, Banai, Pischu li Pesach Echad shel Teshuva kechuda shel Machat, Va'ani Paiseach lachem Pesachim sheyihyu agolis ukrenies nechnaseis bay. Hashem says to the Jewish people, my children, open a doorway of repentance to me like the eye of a needle, and I will open doorways for you through which carts and wagons can enter. So we just have to pierce the hole from one side to the other. It can be so narrow, just like the eye of a needle, but it has to break through from one end to the other. From that place which is totally beyond time, we need to pull it into that space within time, within our thoughts. And the Alter Rebbe will detail, how do we do that? Lahamik ba machashavtei meshech zman mamish ad sheteitzei pe'ulasa me'akayach el ha'payal mamish. This means immersing his thought in it for a lengthy period of time until its effect will emerge from the potential into the actual so that it affects the soul and body of man. So what are we doing? We're taking something that transcends time and we're bringing it into time. The principal way of doing this is by bringing it into our thought. Our thought is confined to time. When we're making ourselves conscious of that space that we have, which is beyond time, we're pulling it into time. And then we're actually going to spend time on it. And when we spend time on it, we're pulling it into time. Now, I want to say that this method that we're talking about now is another method. Meaning, up until now, we talked about how important it is to have this connection with Hashem and to meditate deeply upon Hashem's greatness till we actually get there, till it's really, Hashem's greatness is so real to us, like something that we see with our eyes. And the Alter Rebbe said, it takes tremendous effort, especially if people have obstacles on the way, blockages, whether it's the level of their soul, whether it's their sins. There can be tremendous blockages and a person will have to overcome these huge hurdles. It's going to be b'kayshi u'v'chazka. It's going to be like with difficulty and with forceful insistence, but you can get there. You can get to this place of truly recognizing Hashem's greatness, of coming to a deep awareness of Him. It's very hard. Everybody could do that, but not everybody feels equipped to put forth that level of effort. None of us is absolved from it, but the Alter Rebbe is giving us now another method, because we're talking about yira tata'a. which is the lower level of fear. The lower level of fear is the natural fear, nothing that we created on our own. It's something that exists within us from birth. Just by having a divine soul, we have access to this lower level of fear. Within this lower level of fear, there's more than one level. And this is what the Rebbe Rashab writes in his writings, that there's Yiras Elokim, which is fear of Hashem. And that's what we were first talking about, getting to be so aware of his greatness that it's like tangible in front of us. That's still part of Yira Tata'a. That breakthrough realization is still part of the lower level of fear, but it's a very high level. There's a lower level than that, and that's called Yiras Chet, fear of sin. Fear of sin, like we said a number of times that class, but I'm going to say it again, is not fear of punishment. Fear of punishment has nothing to do with Hashem. Fear of punishment is the person feeling them their own self and not wanting to be uncomfortable. Nothing to do with Hashem. Fear of sin is the fear of ever rebelling against him. I would never want to disobey the king. When a person has fear of sin, they're not so much aware of Hashem's greatness. They're not so much thinking about who Hashem is. They're more thinking about Hashem's rulership, which is like an external level of the king. It's the way he expresses himself outward, but not so much of who he is. That too is part of Yira Tata'a, the lower level of fear. Being so aware of the fact that Hashem is the king that I never want to rebel against him. So if somebody is starting out and they're saying, hey, I can't put in that amount of effort. I'm not yet. I can't put in that amount of effort. And I almost don't want to say it because I don't want to say that we shouldn't try. We all need to try. But while we're on our way to getting to that very high level of forceful insistence, working past all the barriers, all the hurdles just to get there, there's another level that doesn't take that much effort. It's much more simple. It's realize that we have this within us anyway. The only thing is that it transcends time. What do we need to do? We need to pierce that barrier. We need to take it from without out with from outside of the bounds of time. Bring it within the bounds of time. How are we going to do that? We're going to bring it within our thoughts. Our thoughts are under the confines of time. As soon as we tap into that and we spend time on it, so we bring it into our thoughts, which automatically brings it within the bounds of time, within the realm of time, and then we spend time on it, this has a practical effect. We become aware of the fact that Hashem is always watching us, and that we would never want to rebel against him. Doesn't mean that we're cognizant of his greatness. That would be Yiras Elokim. This is simply Yiras Chet. I never want to, Yiras Chet, fear of sin, I never want to rebel against Hashem. Dehainu liyay sor meira, va'ase taiv v'machashava dibur u'maisa mepnei Hashem, hatzayfe u'mabit u'mazin u'makshiv u'mevin el kol ma'asehu. U'vaychen kil yaisa v'libay, so that he will turn away from evil and do good in thought, speech, and action because of Hashem, who looks and sees, hears and listens, perceives all his deeds, and searches his kidneys and heart. When man realizes that Hashem scrutinizes his innermost thoughts, he will certainly refrain from sinning and will instead seek to perform the mitzvot. So this is not thinking so much about Hashem's greatness, more realizing that he is watching me on two levels. He wants to know my thoughts, speech, and action. So that's my practical behavior. He wants to know how am I practically behaving on a day-to-day level. And then he's scrutinizing my heart and my kidneys, meaning my inner intentions, my thoughts. You know, people think like, who cares what I think? Oh, what I think is very, very important. In fact, that's like a huge idea in the Tanya, that thinking is more intimate with our soul than speaking or acting. So what I think has a tremendous power on my soul. So someone can say like, you know, I'm such a good person. I'm so careful not to speak anything bad about another person. So I won't tell anybody, but in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, guess what? That has a damaging effect on the person who thinks that. So Hashem doesn't just want to know that we're, you know, thinking, speaking, and acting accordingly, but he wants to know that our intentions are pure, that they're with him. And when we really think about that, that reminds us that we want to do everything that makes him happy. So we want to do good, which means that we want to keep all the Torah mitzvahs as best as we possibly can. And we want to turn away from evil. Anytime that there's something that comes our way, which is an obstacle, we're going to turn away and say, hey, Hashem is right there. He's watching me. Why would I ever do that? And it's not because we're afraid of punishment. It's because, you know, think of a tremendous person that you would never want to disappoint. You're standing in front of a tzaddik. You're not going to do something inappropriate. Why? Is he going to punish you? He's not going to punish you. You just don't want to let him down. That's how it is. We're in front of Hashem.
You're a little kid, your parent. You don't want to let them know. You always want them to be happy with you.
Right. You just don't want to disappoint them. That's what it is. And so we're trying to get that ultimate level of das, true realization of Hashem's greatness. In the interim, we have a smaller milestone, and that is, let's get to a space where we can channel that point, that essence of us, which is beyond time, which we have anyway. It's literally who we are, that fear of Hashem. Let's channel it to feed and inform our conscious everyday behavior, our thoughts, speech, and action. How are we going to do that? We're going to think about Hashem. Hashem, who scrutinizes my every action, who knows and sees everything that I speak, that I think, speak, and do. Who knows that? That automatically has an effect, that we're going to align our everyday behavior to suit the wish of Hashem. Uchamayim Rabbi Seder Zechreinu Levracha, Histakal B'Shoi Shadivarim Chulei, Ayin Raya V'Aizen Shei Maas Chulei. As the rabbis of blessed memory said, reflect upon three things and you will not come to sin. Know what is above you, an eye that sees and an ear that hears, etc. So this is from the Mishnah in Perkei Avos. The Mishnah says, think about three things and you won't come to sin. Da mala mila mimach, you should know what is above you. Eye in raya, an eye that sees. Va'ezen shei ma'as, and an ear that hears. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtevim, and all your actions are written down in a book. Now, if you look at the wording of our sages, they didn't say, think about. Well, they say reflect upon these three things, but if you look at the Hebrew terminology, it says histakel, which means look at three things. It's not like enough to have a passing mind. Oh yeah, there's an eye that sees, there's an ear that hears. That's a passing thought. This is histakel, look at. Be tremendously cognizant of the fact that there's an eye that sees and an ear that hears, and that helps us channel our truest self to inform our everyday behavior. So let's summarize what we said until now. And that is that after realizing that if we try hard enough, we're for sure going to find fear of Hashem, because it's there. It's buried within us like a hidden treasure. We know that it's there. And if we search hard enough, absolutely we're going to access it. What's the issue? Why aren't we living with this fear of Hashem all the time? Because this deepest space within ourselves exists beyond time. So it doesn't inform our everyday self that it exists within the realms of time. How are we going to break that barrier? How are we going to bridge the gap? We're going to bring it within the confines of time by bringing it into our thought, which is within the realm of time, and by spending actual time on it. We're going to think about the fact that Hashem hears and sees and knows everything that we do, and he knows our intentions. And that's exactly what our sages instructed us to do in the Mishnah. Histakel b'shloisha devarim, look at three things and you will never come to sin. Know that there's an eye that sees and an ear that hears. And so, to be continued, we're going to discuss this idea. What does that mean? Hashem doesn't even have a body. And that's going to lead us to another tremendous idea, Bezrat Hashem. And next week is our last week of class until after Pesach. Opening up for questions and discussion.
So to have you.
Thank you so much, Chami. She sets up so beautifully.